any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Looks like Jim dropped there a second. Let's try to call him back. Okay. Says Jim is unavailable. He was available a minute ago. Hey, everybody. This is Mitch, Jim's producer. Maybe he had to reboot his computer. We'll give Jim a minute, and then we'll give him a ring back. Last seen 13 minutes ago. Let me send him a message here. You have to restart his PC probably. This happens at certain times. It's just an unfortunate happenstance of using, free programs and Skype and such. And sometimes, there's a glitch. A glitch in the matrix. Well, I thought I heard Jim there for a second, but it hung it up. Now it says unavailable. Let me reset the whole call. Hey, right, there we go. Here I am. Let's find out if we can add Jim somewhere along the line here. There we go. We're going to try his cell phone. Let's see if we can get him on that. Said his internet was down. So Jim's internet's down. Maybe we can get him on the cell phone. Sorry about the delay, folks. I went and rebooted my computer just in case, because mine seemed to be one of hanging up, too, when I was trying to fool with Jim, trying to call Jim, trying to get Jim on his cell phone now. Let me make sure this is, okay, speakers, I'll be able to hear.
This is Jim Fetzer. Please leave a message, and I'll get back at my earliest opportunity. Thank you.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Hey, Jim, it's Mitch. You can use your cell phone if you have to. I was just trying to call. I'll leave you a message. 540-352-4452. I'm going to try your Skype again. Hold on. Anyway, I was just leaving a message for Jim. And now let's try to see if Jim's internet is back yet. He said that he was having a problem with his internet. This dang thing. Okay, we're going to try a Skype now. And let's try to see if Jim's Skype or his internet or his PC or whichever is back. I think somewhere along the line, I must have deleted all my all my messages and stuff with Jim. Now, I do remember Jim has occasionally had internet issues. So hopefully Jim will call the call-in line from any phone that he has available. Sorry about everybody. Jim is having internet problems. And here I am. That's right. You get to sit with me for 2 hours. I keep getting text messages from that 408 number. I don't hear Jim. Hey, that's okay. I don't either. Oh, God bless you guys. So Jim is, his internet went down. And I don't know if he's thinking outside the box or if he's adapting on the fly and going to pick up, hopefully, his cell phone number. Because, you know, they say the show must go on. I hope Jim's doing okay. Dun, 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 dun. Then we had Holly Sperlinger in on Friday sitting in for Jim.
Mitchell, hello, Jim. Yeah.
Hey, my internet live.
Okay, my internet got knocked off. Good, good. I'll get right with you.
Okay.
Hang on. Right there.
All right, my friend. Oh, he just left. Oh, I love it. Gotta love it, right? Anyway, I hope y'all are having a great day. God bless you. You know, sometimes you do stuff in one room in the house, and it just doesn't get good internet service. Anyway, so I give Jim a minute to get ready. And then I don't know if he'll call me. I'll just call him back. How's that sound? Okay. Is that all right? Okay. Hang on. We're calling Jim back on his cell phone again. Unavailable. Huh. Well, imagine that. Hey, Jimbo. Give me a call. Anybody wants to give me a call, we'll get this ball rolling. 540-352-4452. We'll open it up for calls for 2 hours. Once we start the ball rolling, I can't guarantee where it will roll, where it might bounce, where it might smash, where it might go. So God bless you, Jim. Please give us a call. I see that you're more than likely, if it's my luck and if the ways and shit that happens to me, his cell phone was on its last bar, its last little bit of battery, and it's saying 1%, 1%. You want to go on saver mode? No! kill it, that battery. Oh, Jesus. I guess I'm going to have to put my headphones in. I'm going to have to switch this game up a little here. All right. And something else I guess I ought to do. Better shut the door. Yeah. I don't want to hear the toilet flush. No, I'm just kidding. Hope y'all are having a great day. Jim is having internet and connection issues, and, evidently, oh, no, oh, shit, well, that's not good either. I bet I just dropped that damn thing. There it is. Don't eat it, Shorty, please. It's the end to the, there it is, to my earplug. My earplugs are such high tech, you know, two of them come apart. I've been popping them back together for a week. No, actually, it's been about 6 weeks. Or nah, I think it's longer than that. It's been about 4 months. Anyway, I hope y'all are having a great day. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. You know, every time I think of Jim and I hear Jim, I think of this song. I won't lie. I think of this song. Let me share my screen. You all have heard me play this before. But, you know, if Jim Fetzer had a theme song, I believe this would be in the top running. Let's get to it here, huh? What do you think? Yeah, I think we should. There it is. It's over in there. I know I can find it right there. Yeah, well, let's see. Okay, there it is. Hopefully this is muted. Of course not. Hopefully it didn't shift on to the next tune. Try to stop the play. There it is. Yeah, so anyway, Jim Fetzer had a theme song. This would definitely be it. We're going to try Jim, too, after this song.
I told you so. I told you so. Remember when I told you about 9/11? Remember when I told you about Building 7? Remember when I told you about the fluoride in the water? Yes, I did. Remember when I told you about the New World Order? Remember that? Remember when I told you about the chemtrails in the sky? Remember when I told you that NASA was full of lies? Remember when I told you about the ultra mind control? Well, I just want to say that I told you so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jim Fetzer had a theme song. Yeah, I believe that would be it. That's not the whole song, but let's see if we can't get Jim back on the line. He's probably all flustered up, especially after his cell phone died. because I'll tell you right now that Harry's calling. He's calling back for him. I'm just getting ready to call him. There he is. There, we finally got him. Jim got his cell phone plugged in. And he's on.
Yeah.
He's got the battery charging.
See, they,
all right,
they,
Jim.
Our internet has gone out, Mitchell. Completely gone out. It's crazy.
That's okay. We got you now.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to be here for sure. This may be a little makeshift, therefore, however. We got a really important story that London will be the first bombed in the World War III, coming from a Russian general who an advisor on the defense board for Russia. That London's going to be the first city bombed if a world war breaks out. And, you know, that's really completely appropriate, Mitchell, because as Muammar Gaddafi observed, if you want to end terrorism in the world, just drop a cruise missile into the city of London. I think that's completely right. He's talking about how they'd actually proceed if it were to take place, and that the only way to prevent this, deal with this blockade of Kaliningrad would be by a Russian invasion of NATO countries, which would trigger, clause 5, an attack on one and an attack on all, and spark World War III. He said, we'll destroy the entire group of the enemy's space satellites during the first air operation, and that's exactly why, that's exactly what you'd want to do. No one will care if they're American or British. We would see them all as NATO. Second, we'll mitigate the entire system of anti-missile defenses everywhere with 100%. Third, we certainly won't start with Warsaw, Paris, or Berlin. The first city to be hit will be London. Expert who's a member of Russian Parliamentary Defense Committee added, it's crystal clear the threat to the world comes from the Anglo-Saxons as part of the operation to destroy critically important sites. Western Europe will be cut off from power supplies and immobilized. All power sites will be destroyed. And in the third stage, I shall see what the USA will tell Western Europe on containing their fight in the cold without food and electricity. Mitchell, based on my experience as a Marine Corps officer, this all sounds exactly right. I think he's actually laying out, as Putin has sought to do again and again, the risk that the West is running by pushing Russia, you know, trying to push Russia around, which they're not going to take. The Russians are very stern. They're very serious. They're very dedicated to maintaining the security of their nation, which, of course, was what led them to intervene in Ukraine in the very first place. It's really stunning what's taking place. Now, there's a report we have of over a million who have re-registered from Democrat to Republican, and it's primarily suburban women who are losing their enthusiasm for the Democratic Party, which is just one more of the multiple warning signs we have about the catastrophe that the Democrats are going to encounter in November if we are able to get there. My conviction is that the Democrats are going to do everything they possibly can to make it impossible to conduct the election, and that includes going to war with Russia. Indeed, there are multiple sources indicating that there are many Western nations that are falling apart economically and believe that the only way that they're going to be able to survive is if their war takes place. Meanwhile, the decision on Roe v. Wade by the Supreme Court is without any doubt their greatest lifeline, the problem being that the other issues that confront the nation, including the economy, inflation, rising crime, the border mess, are all ranked higher on the minds of American voters than even is the right to abortion. And when anyone has an opportunity to, you know, when my internet's back up, and if yours not down, perhaps you can get there already, I have two pieces I intended to spend time on today. One, a defense of abortion and how it actually is rooted in the Constitution in terms of anti-slavery provisions, because this author is arguing very much along the lines that I have argued, that if you require women to carry to term an unwanted fetus, then you're turning them into reproductive slaves. And this article recounts, by a woman, recounts how historically black women were subjugated by the white masters in a period of slavery, and that pregnancy was one of the principal mechanisms that were used to exploit them. And I agree with all the reasoning that is displayed there, but Lionel Nation has published a very, very interesting piece about why Roe v. Wade is no longer live and well, and it goes through the legislative process and judicial interpretation and offers very strong reasons why it wasn't viable to begin with, and that even there were those among the leading experts on the court who had that opinion and felt that it was something that was not sustainable. And I therefore want to juxtapose those two views and invite discussion and debate, which I'm still glad to do. Indeed, we may just go early to call, since I'm not in the position to access the articles I normally would be reporting. to our audience today. So, Mitchell, I'm good with opening the phone lines even after the first break. We're probably just about there, are we not?
Yes, Jim, we're about 30 seconds or less from the first break.
Well, Mitchell, 540-352-4452. Call in. We're going to have extra time here for calls today because my internet is down and we're doing this in a makeshift fashion using my cell phone to connect to Mitchell right there in the studio. So I welcome your calls. Let's talk about all these issues. I do believe that the Democrats are in a precarious position and that what's been going on here with the January 6th Commission is a total sham, Soviet-style show trial, and that the Department of Justice has shown its hand by saying that it disagrees with a Second Amendment decision, which is not the role of the DOJ. We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Oh. join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, we're back. I don't know if Jim's
yes,
there.
Yes, we're back and there welcoming. I welcome. Go ahead, Mitchell.
Oh no, you're. I just making sure you were back. I didn't know if the phone delay or just the setup.
The Democrats are going into meltdown over abortion and also over the Second Amendment. Someone I used to regard as perhaps the most rational mind on television at the time, Keith Olbermann, who had this absolutely sensational show on MSNBC before he was replaced by Rachel Maddow in their move to become more woke, has just completely fallen apart mentally. He's a total mess in claiming the the Supreme Court has invalidated itself. Elizabeth Warren is making similar claims. The court's lost its legitimacy. The Lie of the Nation article I mentioned actually explains why the apparent legal rationale for Roe was never very well founded. But on the other hand, I still continue to believe that it was among the wisest decisions ever made by the court. So I was hoping to generate a discussion and debate based on these two very well-reasoned articles juxtaposed with one another. But I'm unable to get there. Can you reach my site, jamesfetzer.org, Mitchell?
Oh, sure, Jim. Yeah, I had one question, though. Keith Olbermann, could he have made it through boot camp? Or would he be a Section
8? I used to think he was so damn good at his show. I just loved it. It was wonderfully organized. It was hard-hitting. It was very analytic. But after he got the bounce, I was still at the time a columnist for Veterans Today, and I proposed to Gordon Duff, who was the editor-in-chief, that we invite Keith Olbermann to join us, authoring blogs and the like, and I reached out to him. Gordon was good with it. I reached out to Keith, but I never got a response, and I think he went into a form of depression that has ultimately led to a loss of stability. I mean, his reaction here is so over the top and unreasonable that it's very difficult for anyone to take him seriously any longer. Now, Elizabeth Warren declaring the court has lost its legitimacy is a whole different matter, because most of us figured out a long time ago that Pocahontas was a fraud, a phony, and haven't had much time for her anyhow in the meanwhile. So, I just got to say, the Democrats are right politically to try to make a big deal out of this for the November election, because, in my opinion, is by far the best issue they have going. Gun control has fallen apart. The court's decision on the Second Amendment was so appropriate that I applaud it completely. Crime will go down when more people are bearing arms. It's inevitable. It's happened universally. John Lott has a wonderful book on the war on guns. It provides many, many studies, but it's a worldwide phenomenon. The greater the gun ownership, the lower the homicide rate. And it's for the obvious reason that perps aren't going to go on a binge killing people if they realize it may cost them their lives in return. And I think that's exactly what we want. We have some governors who are also moving forward with giving teachers the right to carry weapons into class. And, of course, these fancy shootings like Buffalo and Uvalde are completely fraudulent, but they do type of the issue, which has the effect that about a million Americans who never owned firearms before have bought firearms per month in the last 10 months since these things have been, you know, they've revived these shootings at the grocery store in Buffalo, which was modeled after the New Zealand event, which was about as close to a computer game as you could get. You had toy guns. There was no shell casing ejection. They never hit the ground. They had to CGI their shell casings in. When the shots were being fired at individuals in the doorway, for example, there was no blood. When he got into the mosque far enough, into a large room, there was a pile of bodies already stacked up at the end of the room. He didn't have to shoot anything because they were all lying there conveniently. And when he went over and fired at him, you see a little puff of air, but you wouldn't see any impact of any bullets. We had the same thing in Buffalo, which was completely ridiculous. And he also was driving around in a car, as in New Zealand. He also had a weapon painted up, as in New Zealand. He also had no shell casing ejection, as in New Zealand. He was also pointing and shooting at bodies where there was no blood or impact. They were, in some cases, even falling in the wrong direction, or they were already in the ground before any firing took place. I mean, it was bad. And then Uvalde was such an obvious repetition of Sandy Hook, but with a couple of variations. I mean, the shooter there, of course, was supposed to have shot his mother and then gone to this elementary school and killed 20 kids and 6 adults, first graders. So they bury it in Uvalde, and they have him shoot his grandmother, and then he goes to the elementary school and shoots up 19 second, third, and fourth graders. But Mitchell is embarrassing. This Eva Hernandez was supposed to be the wife of the trooper who ran the drill there at the same school 2 months earlier. It was a recycled Victoria Soto. It was supposed to be a deaf teacher from Sandy Hook. I guarantee you that's Victoria Soto doing a reprise in Uvalde. And then they bring down this McConaughey. I mean, this is a guy who spends his time advertising for Lincoln automobiles. He's a wealthy guy. He's worth about $160 million. They bring him down to this town where he claims is his hometown. He's got to look at his script. He makes wild hand gestures. It's all very unconvincing and inauthentic. And then to as though you needed to cap it all off with another absurdity, you got one pair of parents saying they could only identify their daughter based upon her green Converse sneakers, and they show a pair of green Converse sneakers that just came out of a box. I mean, they've never been cinched up. They're exactly the way the laces are tied coming out of the box. They don't have a speck of blood. And guess what? Matthew McConaughey's wife is there and is wearing green sneaker Converse. This is product placement. I mean, it's so bad. It's so embarrassing. Just as we have in so many cases, there's no surge of EMTs, no string of ambulances, no medevac helicopter. That was true at Sandy Hook. It was true at Orlando. It was true at Parkland. It was true in Las Vegas. It was true in Uvalde. And this is for the reason, Mitchell, that the real medical services won't donate or participate in drills and exercises because they might be needed for legitimate medical emergencies. And they don't want to have someone die of a heart attack when they could have been saved because they hit an ambulance that was off at Uvalde participating in one of these fake drills. So when they couldn't get enough ambulances on the scene, and they did have, I think, one token ambulance there, they drove around a group of hearses. Now, just think of the absurdity of bringing hearses to the scene of a shooting. Ours transports coffin to a funeral, to a gravesite. Hearses aren't used, they have no medical facilities, aren't used as emergency vehicles. So I think what the director on the scene just realized, since they didn't have any ambulances, they wanted to get some vehicles in, and they brought in hearses. But it's stupid, and, you know, it's self-refuting. When you discover some of these fraudulent elements of an event like this, you recognize the whole thing is staged. Either the whole thing is legitimate or it's a fraudulent event. Even the claim that the mother is supposed to have rushed in to save her two little kids appears to be totally, totally made up. That's just a fabrication. And I'm still puzzled about the hesitation of the police where they hung around for about an hour without going in to confront the shooter, because that's drawn all the attention, Mitchell. It's gone off of the shooting, which was shabby, I mean, poorly done, but that's where they get their emotional impact, is from the shooting. And when you have the police officers not following through, not carrying out their duty and responsibility to protect the children and to deal with bad guys, that infuriates everyone. So I think that a very negative backfire on the Democrats who want these to go on, and where I've been predicting we're going to get at least minimally one a week all the way up to the November midterms, because they think it's going to help. It's actually working the opposite way, so far as I can tell. When you have millions of new buyers getting weapons, they're not losing their enthusiasm for the Second Amendment. The Democrats aren't getting anywhere. And then when it's compounded by the Supreme Court making a very wise decision that a New York law that you had to have a special justification to carry a concealed carry weapon was a violation of the Second Amendment, that the special condition was unconstitutional. That's a really significant development. And we know, although the media doesn't report it, that Americans use guns for defensive purposes when they're confronted with pervs, close to 2 million times every year, well over a million, and it's estimated to save a minimum of 200,000 lives every year. 200,000 American lives are used every year by virtue of being armed. The defensive use of weapons, they typically don't even have to be fired. That's when the perp sees that the individual they're assaulting is armed, they get the hell out of Dodge. So I don't think any of this is really working the way the Democrats had anticipated. I think it's all backfiring, and you got a million, you know, who are switching their party affiliation from Republican. I mean, just think of all the reasons. I mean, it's embarrassing to have a party as incompetent as this. Why would anyone want to be affiliated with a party that Zionist officers of the party are Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? One, they're clearly senile and incompetent, who has trouble following a teleprompter, who's given instructions of where to stand, where to sit, what to say. I mean, who the hell would believe in a party with that as a person like that as its leader? And when the number two is a complete hairhead who seems to have weighed away politically on her back or on her knees, I mean, this is just embarrassingly bad. I can see, Mitchell, why many who have heretofore thought of themselves as Democrats are disillusioned and want to move to a party that stands for a strong economy, border security, good-paying jobs for the lowest earning wage earners who are seeing their wages rise at the highest rate under Donald Trump, energy independence. I mean, look at all the stupid decisions Biden has made since he came into office. It's completely appalling. I can see why no one would want to be affiliated with a Democratic Party. And I myself received a phone call just, I'd say about 5 days ago from someone conducting a poll. And since I'm still registered as a Democrat, they were asking me how I intended to vote in the forthcoming midterm election. I said, well, you know, I'm a registered Democrat. If I'm going to vote for Republican. And they got really upset and got off the line almost immediately. I think they were hearing that from too many they were calling or saying I was even speculating perhaps I should re-register as a Republican, you know. Quite a dismal situation for the Democrats, as I see it, Mitchell.
Well, Jim, here, I'll give you, you can take a breath. I can keep it going.
You got it.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you know, Democrats really only have themselves to blame for a lot of this, this upheaval in abortion of policy. You know, people want to have, you know, we understand there has to be, you know, the exception for the mother's health and the deformities and such and rape and incest and, you know, a few other rare exclusions. But, you know, this idea that it's okay to abort a baby that is viable, that is essentially just days away from a live birth, is absolutely ludicrous. And they certainly, you know, they were losing a lot of Democrats on that ground too. And, you know, now, you know, we also have, you know, the war in Ukraine. And, you know, I believe most Democrats just want to, are most like most Republicans. They want to live a free and equal life. And they want government to stay the hell out of their business. And they want them to take as a least amount of tax as they really can to run the government. But our government has become this monstrosity of special interest powers and groups. And, you know, we have the uniparty system with the Democrats and Republicans where, you know, just as this latest gun control measure that went through with essentially, you know.
Oh, you mean the red flag law stuff?
Yeah. You know, basically.
Which, you know, by the way, Mitchell, it's already been declared unconstitutional. I mean, this is just political theater.
Well, it is. I mean, you got Liz Cheney. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, Pelosi has so discredited herself and the Democrats in this hearing.
Yes.
They're looking for another way out. And I know you talked earlier, you were talking about Kaliningrad. And, you know, the Russians have said that they will have a non-political response or something along those lines.
I think it's going to be economic. I think they're going to cut Lithuania off from gas and energy from Russia, and it's going to put them in a dire situation. That's my best guess.
Yeah, they're doing that. They also today, I guess late last night or this morning, they started a massive cyber attack against them. So
I guess Lithuania.
Yeah. Now, whether NATO declares that an attack on all or one or whatever, I don't know. I mean, they've claimed it is. And, you know, and there's something, and there was another big story that broke. I don't know if you were aware or you maybe haven't got around to it yet. But the verification that, you know, U.S., and UK training troops, advisors have been on the ground in Ukraine the entire time. In Ukraine.
That the US has had
advisors.
Senior military in the UK, senior military officers in Ukraine the whole time?
Yes. Yes. That came out of story too over the weekend. So
it's just outrageous.
I know that Russia is now moving some of their, I forget what they were called, but some of their advanced missiles into Belarus to, I guess in preparation for war. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it. We haven't seen, you know, it's another it's just another thing on top of everything else. You know, I keep pointing to Kazakhstan as the real inflection point when the U.S. in the middle of negotiations was tried to overthrow Kazakhstan. And then it was after that all diplomacy was off. So, I think the Russians have decided, you know, and the U.S. and the NATO troops and the U.K. keep proving that there are no honest negotiations with them, that everything they do is, you know, some kind of a tactical strategic move. It's not about peace. It's not about, you know, finding, equal space in the world. It's really the West continuing their war, an active hot war, social media, social revolutions and everything else against Russia and against everybody else, including us here at home. I don't think people realize that idea yet, but they will wake up to that idea that, you know, we here at home, you know, we are yet another battlefront in the psychological warfare for the hearts and the minds and the drivers and the I'm trying to think of this word that I'm looking for. This, dang it. They manufacture a response. You know, they get people behind everybody. They manufacture compliance. They manufacture support for, you know, whatever they really want to try to do. And this is, this is just par for their course. But they have to destroy, right, before they can rebuild. You know how that works?
Yeah, well.
But, go ahead, Jim. We got about 3 minutes to the break.
Well, one of the great things about the American political system is the opportunity to replace government, to have reforms, periodic elections, recalls, referenda and all that. And when it's thwarted, you really create a very dire situation. And the Democrats have been doing everything they can to thwart every effort to recall unpopular leaders, as in California, with Gruesome, Newsom, and elsewhere. With a Secretary of State there changed the way in which voting was done to allow everyone to print their own ballot at home, so you could have a Newsom supporter, no doubt, could have printed up 100 or 1,000 ballots. I mean, it's just outrageous in the way in which they've been exposed over 2,000 mules, but suppressing it all and claiming anyone who, you know, questions the election is somehow committing virtually a criminal offense. I mean, that's so obviously contrary to freedom of speech, freedom of the press. I mean, I've always said, if it means anything to be American, it's your right to criticize your government. And they're taking that away. They're suppressing it. They are really mucking things up to a way that they might actually force Americans to, with their back up against the wall, if Americans no longer have anything to lose, that's when the shit hits the fan, Mitchell.
Well, Jim, there is one thing. If you're ever in a photo op with Nancy Pelosi, prepare to get the elbow. I don't know if you've seen that video clip where Nancy Pelosi pushed the daughter of the GOP congresswoman that was getting sworn in, that Nancy Pelosi took her elbow and kind of edged her out, trying to push her off the screen or off the screen.
out of the photograph.
Yeah, well, just give her space, I guess, push her away from the center. You know,
To make Nancy more prominent.
Well, yeah, a photo op, you know, so.
Something is, that woman is seriously warped in many different ways. Because, I mean, just look at January 6th, you know, it's clear she was the mastermind behind the, if not, maybe it was Obama who had the original plot, but it's in implementing. Nancy Pelosi was the key. Well, Trump had offered to provide the National Guard troops days in advance, and he'd been repeatedly rejected by Pelosi and Schumer and the mayor of Washington, D.C., Muriel Bowser, all of whom were intent on creating a scenario they could use to attack Trump and his supporters.
Hey, we're hit the break, Jim. We'll be right back. Thanks, everybody.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's the Raw Deal. Dr. James.
Yes.
There's my friend.
Yes. The Raw Deal and a kind of an unusual show because my internet is out, so we're having to play it by ear. I'm real tickled that we were able to make a cell phone connection. Meanwhile, I may or may not be able to access one or another of the most important stories I wanted to discuss today. Mitchell, has anyone taken advantage of the opportunity to call? Remember, 540-352-4452. This is the opportunity to get on the air. Anything you want to discuss, we're here to pick it up with you. So take advantage of the opportunity. Further thoughts of yours, my friend?
Well, Jim, I see that in Russia there was a strike in the town of Kremlek. There was a crowded shopping mall. Said 1,000 people were inside, got hit by a Russian missile attack.
Well, you sure it was Russian and not Ukraine, because the Russians have been going out of their way to protect the civilians. So.
Well, I know. You're absolutely right. Not only that, but, you know, the Ukrainians have been essentially using schools and hospitals as command centers and places to put their vehicles. So there will be casualties. Civilian
casualties. That's right.
So,
that's right, which is cowardly. I mean, this is technically, this is a war crime to use civilians as shields. It's completely inappropriate, but it's indicative of the moral character of the Ukrainians, which is, in terms of the government and the military, pitifully low. These are sadistic, brutal, ruthless people. And the idea that our attorney general has flown over there to kiss his butt is just embarrassing in the extreme. If one wanted a reason to leave the Democrat Party, there's one right there all by itself.
Yeah, we have Supreme Court just come out with a couple rulings. Sides with a coach who sought to pray after the game, says schools cannot prohibit. They ruled in favor of a high school football coach from Washington State who sought to kneel and pray on the field after games. A decision that could strengthen the acceptability of some religious practices in other public school settings. It was a 6-3. I guess that's the
that's very interesting. And did the same lineup of liberals oppose it as we have with Roe?
It appears so. Yeah.
Yeah, I would expect that to be the case.
Yeah, it would appear so.
Have we got another ruling yet from the court? I mean, they're issuing a lot. I'm looking forward to them taking up my case and ruling to make uniform summary judgment procedures through all 50 of the states, because right now in Wisconsin, the citizens aren't getting a fair shake. They're getting taken to the cleaners. A procedure that's virtually equivalent to fleecing, the way the summary judgment procedure is set up in Wisconsin. It's just startling to discover how bad it is, Mitchell.
Well, I see there's there's a shortage right now of abortion pills because everybody's ordering them and stockpiling them. I guess it's just like, you know, getting an AR-15. You got to stockpile.
Yeah, stocking up on your guns and ammo. That's right.
Yeah, but they're getting they're prepping their prep is abortion pills.
Yeah, no, I get it. Well, those morning after pills and all that seem to me to be just an ideal solution to the problem. I mean, how many are going to argue that a fertilized egg alone, you know, that is a human being? I mean, obviously,
yeah,
it has a potential, but it's like the acorn versus a tree. They just aren't the same thing.
Yeah, it counts for about 40% of all abortions. And we also, you know, many people seem to forget that, you know, California doesn't, how should I say it? California doesn't report the number of abortions that they have. You know, it doesn't, you know, in other blue states, you know, they don't report any abortion numbers. So the numbers we have are just from reported states. And, you know, so who knows really how high that number really is. But, it's turned into political theater and political hysteria. And, you know, there's going, like I said, did you see where corporations now would rather pay somebody $4,000, give them a paid vacation to go have their abortion and come back to work, you know, the following week, rather than, you know, have that child on their health insurance for 20 years.
You know, I hadn't thought about that from a financial cost benefit. I suppose that makes sense for a corporation to decide that way.
I mean, absolutely.
Given that their objective is to make money to maximize profits.
Yeah, you can't keep, I don't know what happened. Paul had sent me a message earlier and now he's blocked. I don't know what happened and I don't know why.
Yeah, Paul, of all people, I would have expected to take advantage of this unusual situation.
Yeah, well, anyway, I don't know. I can't say.
I hadn't thought about how, from a company point of view, you could save a lot of money and therefore make greater profits by reducing your costs.
And your employee focus. I mean, you got a woman there focused on the job, not focused on her child. Even if she has it and she comes back to work, she's still going to be, you know, a mom, you know, and not your, you know, corporate, you know, robot.
Yes.
So, I mean, to me, it makes perfect sense that those that have the most invested financially are going to, you know, effectively encourage this. So, but
listen, I've been able to pull up one of the articles I wanted to discuss today. By Michelle Goodman, entitled No Justice Alito, Reproductive Justice is in the Constitution, to which I added the following note. The author captures exactly my contention that the pro-life position is unconstitutional, undemocratic, and un-American by forcing women to carry unwanted fetuses to term and turning them into reproductive slaves. You've heard me say that before. I'm not asking everyone to agree. I'm just outlining my position. The pro-choice position, perfectly represented by Roe, allows a woman to decide on the basis of her personal and family circumstances whether or not to carry the term. It does not obligate anyone to have an abortion, and therefore allows everyone to decide for themselves, as in my body, my choice. I weep for the women of America to have to endure the consequences of the grossly thoughtless and immoral decision by violating a woman's right to reproductive freedom. That's just a coarse representation of my view here, but everyone knows, and a lot disagree. Believe me, I respect everyone's right to differences of opinion. Now, here's how it's laid out, and this is on my blog. You can find it. I published it, I believe, yesterday. Black women's sexual subordination and forced pregnancies were foundational to slavery. If cotton was euphemistically kink, black women's wealth-maximizing forced reproduction was queen. Ending the forced sexual and reproductive servitude of black girls and women was a critical part of the passage of the 13th and 14th Amendments. The overturning of Roe v. Wade reveals the Supreme Court's neglectful reading of the amendments that abolished slavery and guaranteed all people equal protection under the law. It means the erasure of black women from the Constitution. Mandated forced or compulsory pregnancy contravenes enumerated rights in the Constitution, namely the 13th Amendment prohibition against involuntary servitude and protection of bodily autonomy, as well as the 14th Amendment's defense of privacy and freedom. This Supreme Court demonstrates a selective and opportunistic interpretation of the Constitution and legal history, which ignores the intent of the 13th and 14th, especially as related to black women's bodily autonomy, liberty, and privacy, which extended beyond freeing them from labor in cotton fields to shielding them from rape and forced reproduction. The horrors inflicted on black women during slavery, especially sexual violation and forced pregnancies, have been all but wiped from cultural and legal memory. Unfortunately, this failure disserves all women. She continues. Overturning the right to abortion reveals the court's indefensible disregard for the lives of women, girls, and people capable of pregnancy, given the possible side effects and consequences of pregnancy, including gestational diabetes, pre-emphysis, hemorrhaging, and gestational hypertension, ectopic pregnancy, and death. State-mandated pregnancy will exacerbate what are already alarming health and dignity harms, especially in states with horrific records of maternal mortality and morbidity. To understand the gravity of what is at stake, one need only turn to the Supreme Court's own recent history. In 2016, Justice Stephen Breyer noted in Whole Women's Health versus Heller stat that women are 14 times more likely to die by carrying a pregnancy to term than by having an abortion. The United States, here is a chilling distinction of being the most dangerous place in the industrial world to give birth, ranking 55th overall in the world. Disproportionately, those who will suffer most are poor women, especially black and brown women. Black women are 3 times as likely to die by carrying a pregnancy to term than white women. In Mississippi, a black woman is 118 times as likely to die by carrying a pregnancy to term than by having an abortion. According to the Mississippi maternal mortality report from 2013 to 2016, Black women accounted for nearly 80% of pregnancy-related cardiac deaths in that state. At present, there's only one clinic in the entire state of Mississippi to serve hundreds of thousands of women who might need to terminate a pregnancy. In 1942, a unanimous decision delivered by Justice William Douglas in Skinner versus Oklahoma, the court explains, this case touches a sensitive and important area of human rights because Oklahoma sought to sterilize a man who committed petty crimes, including stealing chickens, under its habitual criminal sterilization act. Justice Douglas wrote that reproductive autonomy and privacy associated with marriage and procreation are fundamental, and the state's interference with such rights may have subtle, far-reaching, and devastating effects. The justices were concerned about the inequality at the heart of the law, which singled out poor and vulnerable classes of American men. Now, 80 years later, Mississippi has already made a clear, pointed, unmistakable discrimination as it has selected a particular race or nationality for oppressive treatment, which the court specifically struck down and condemned in Skinner. What today's Supreme Court strategically overlooks, legal history reminds us with stunning clarity, specifically the terrifying practice of American slavery included the stalking, kidnapping, confinement, coercion, rape, and torture of black women and girls. In a commentary reprinted in the New York Times on January 18, 1860, slavery was described as an enterprise that treats a black person as a chattel, breeds from him with as little regard for marriage ties as if he were an animal, is a moral outlaw. Such observations were hardly unique of rare or rare. The Library of Congress offers a comprehensive collection of newspapers, almanacs, daguerreotypes, illustrations, and other materials that comprise the African-American mosaic influence of prominent abolitionists. Laws that date back to the 1600s expose the sexual depravity and inhumanity of American slavery. In 1662, the Virginia Grand Assembly enacted one of its first slave laws to settle the point, expressing, quote, "Whereas some doubts have arisen whether children got by any Englishman upon a Negro woman should be slave or free, be it therefore enacted and declared by this present Grand Assembly that all children born in this country shall be held bond or free only according to the condition of the mother." Thomas Jefferson kept copious records and documents related to the births of enslaved children at his Monticello plantation, including those who were ultimately discovered to be his own. Not surprisingly, at the heart of abolishing slavery and involuntary servitude in the 13th Amendment was a forced sexual and reproductive servitude of black girls and women. Senator Charles Sumner of Massachusetts, who led the effort to prohibit slavery and enact the 13th Amendment, was nearly beaten to death in the halls of Congress 2 days after giving a speech that included the conferring of the culture of sexual, condemning the culture of sexual violence that dominated slavery. Black women also spoke out about their reproductive bondage in 1851 in her compelling speech known as "Ain't I a Woman." Sojourner Truth ignored the crowd of men and women gathered at the Women's Rights Convention in Akron, Ohio, to understand the gravity and depravity of American slavery and black women's reproductive autonomy and privacy. Reported by newspapers and recorded throughout history, Ms. Truth stated that she had born 13 children and seen nearly everyone ripped from her arms with no appeal to courts of law or law. Wasn't she a woman, too, by the accounts of those gathered, including famed feminist abolitionist Frances Gage? The room stood still and then erupted in applause. Similarly to incidents in the life of a slave girl published in 1861, Harriet Jenkins describes the Herculean efforts made to avoid the inevitable sexual assault and rape by her captor. She wrote, "I saw a man 40 years my senior daily violating the most sacred commandments of nature. He told me I was his property, and I must be subject to his will in all things." And yet slavery's vestiges persisted in southern states, including with the domains of privacy, child rearing, and marriage. The Bureau of Refugee Freedmen and Abandoned Lands, better known as the Freedmen's Bureau, founded in March of 1865, collected letters written by black mothers despairing over the apprenticeship under which their children were kidnapped and returned to bondage under the guise of traineeship. Yeah, so we have to break.
No, but Paul's here. I didn't do it. I wasn't there. You know, I didn't enslave anybody. You know, I understand historically, you know, slavery happened, and even, you know, women have been in the past treated, and even today in the Middle East and Far East, you know, treated pretty shitty. But I didn't do it. And, you know, I don't believe everybody in society should. It feels like people want to guilt trip people from the past. And, you know, we live in today's world, and we, you know.
Well, the point here, Mitchell, is that these issues about reproduction and women's rights are actually have a root in the Constitution in the 13th and the 14th Amendment that is ignored because of ignorance of the history of those amendments and the servitude of women under slavery. And I think she makes a perfectly valid point, and is one of the reasons why I do not believe the argument that there's no source in the Constitution to guarantee a woman's right to reproductive freedom is well-founded. I think that's a mistaken argument, and what she's doing is seeking to correct the record. Everyone, I encourage you, read the totality on my blog, but also this piece by Lionel Nation, which is really quite fascinating as to why the other side of the argument is the, you know, fascinating to juxtapose. Since we got Paul here, go ahead, put him on. Paul, join the conversation.
I've been listening to you talk, and I can't agree less with this idea that's what you just read, written by this woman, has anything to do with what we're talking about. You can say it's rooted, but in my opinion, it's mainly just a backdrop. Okay, they're completely disconnected topics, in my opinion, and you can't conflate the two. I don't believe in it. And it's the kind of thing that a woman would say, right, you know, to, in my opinion, to make an excuse for this ghastly procedure. See, they didn't abort their babies back then, Jim. Right now, so was it wrong for women to essentially be held in captivity and maybe in some cases to sleep with men that they didn't really want to sleep with and then as a result bear the children that came about from that union? Well, of course, that's an obvious wrong. And nobody today that would consider themselves pro-life would support that. But these two things are not related, and to conflate the two, in my opinion, is completely inappropriate. And legally would not pass muster. That's my opinion.
I'm glad to have your opinion, Paul. In my judgment, if a woman doesn't have this right to abort, an unwanted pregnancy, especially in accordance with the provisions of Roe, where in the first trimester it's unrestricted and the overwhelming majority of abortions occur in the first trimester, and the second, the state can regulate how it's done, but it's otherwise a woman's right. And only after viability at the end of the second trimester, when the fetus can survive out of the uterus, does it become due to first primitive rights attained, equivalent to designating this now viable entity as a person with a primitive right not to be subjected to abortion, thus to save the life or the right of the health of the mother is an overriding right.
Time out. Break. We'll be right back.
Okay, we'll be right back with Paul talking about abortion.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen, with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
continue to maintain that Roe v. Wade was the among the wisest, if not the wisest, decision ever rendered by the Supreme Court, because it allows every woman to make a decision for herself as a function of her own personal circumstances, her conscience, her religious beliefs, her family circumstances, her work environment. There are so many circumstances under which bringing another child into the world would be a very problematical undertaking with vast ramification, potentially even losing the ability to put food on the table or keep a roof over the head.
Not too bad.
Paul, I give you plenty of time, for God's sake.
No, you don't. All you do is talk. You give me very little time to respond.
Paul. I don't want to give you the boot. I want to give you plenty of time. Let me just explain why I believe Roe was properly decided.
Hold on, time.
Let me just respond to what you just said the last 10 minutes then.
What do you mean the last 10 minutes? We only came back from the break just a minute ago, for God's sake.
You were talking
10 minutes
free.
Let me finish my sentence, for God's sake. The fact is that you're otherwise forcing a woman to carry term of an unwanted pregnancy. It's very bad. This is a herd body. It's been well observed that if men could become pregnant, abortion would be our most sacred right. There's no doubt about it. And Paul, I don't want to suggest you're a sexist pig, but you're sure coming across that way to me. And I really am offended by the way you constantly interfere, not just me, but other speakers I have, which is the reason why I have problems with you coming on this show at all.
No, the reason you have problems.
I think you're a smart guy, and I'd like to hear your opinion, but I don't like it when you just trample over the rights of others, especially me on this show. Mitchell, if he can't control himself, just give him the boot.
Give him a chance to respond, Jim. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay. Can I talk now?
Yes, please do.
Okay. All right. So, Jim, here's the problem, and it's really, you know, you do this all the time on all your shows. You repeat the same diatribe on your position of abortion. We've all heard it so many times. In my opinion, and I'm not alone, it doesn't lend itself to all these academic things like personhood and trimester and viability and all this blather and nonsense. And frankly, I'm one of many people that you know, and I'm going to name them, that don't understand how you can feel the way you do and say the things you say, being a father and a grandfather, having seen the miracle of life, what miracle you attribute it to God or the universe, nature or biology, whatever you want to attribute it to, it's a miracle of life. And you talk in these terms like you're lecturing a freshman class in college. And I'm sorry, but it gets annoying. I'm going to name the people now that are pretty much, I won't say on my side, but none of them agree with you. So here we go.
Okay.
Me, stop talking for a second. Me, Giuseppe, Scorpio, Mona, Michael Ivey, Chicago Brew, they all do not agree with you on your stand on abortion. And I would suggest, if you're interested, to listen to a one-hour show last night on Republic Broadcasting called The Sane Asylum, where Giuseppe and Scorpio spent the first half hour talking about abortion. And then I called in and I made a contribution. I'm sorry, but I disagree with you. And I'm among many listeners. We're tired of hearing academic sounding terms like viability and personhood and all the other stuff that you trot out as some kind of a buttress to this position you take. And then you talk about women in terms of being forced breeding units and all kinds of other nonsense. Listen, abortion is not a right and it's not right. Now, Giuseppe spelled out quite well on last night's show the medical reasons, the medical exigencies for exceptions, and I agreed with them. But the idea that it's an unwanted, this term unwanted has been kicked around for so long. I dealt with it 25-plus years ago with my sister, and I told her to her face, it's not about what you want. Once you become pregnant, it's a whole different matter. It's a whole different world, okay? If we went around and making policy and law based upon what people want, what people don't want, we wouldn't have the kind of society that's moral that we all want to have. So I don't agree with this idea that we're forcing a woman to carry to term and all that other stuff. This abortion issue has been used by the Jews, as you know, and I've made clear, to drive us into a moral decline and a moral decay. And if you hear the clip that Giuseppe plays with Jane Roe herself talking about how she regretted what she did, she regretted being involved in the decision. That's a real woman who was involved in it, Jane Roe, and she said herself that she did not think. So anyway, I'm done with my rant. Thanks for hearing my rant. Sorry to get impatient with you, but this is a very, you know, emotional issue for me and a lot of other people. And I didn't mean to name and drop all those people, but I'm pretty sure they won't mind. And you could talk to them yourself if you wanted.
This isn't a question of popularity. This is a question of whether a woman has the right to decide for herself on the use of her own body and whether or not she has the right to carry, not have a child she doesn't want to bear to term. That's what it's about. I don't favor abortion. I think abortion should be legal, safe, but rare. I favor birth control. But if a woman's in a situation where she has applied a problem, she should have the right to make the decision. And the reason you're disparaging the academic terms is because of the key conceptual distinctions that have to be drawn to gain clarity on the situation so you understand this whole idea of murdering babies is an abuse of language. Ordinary language isn't countless. A developing entity is a baby until it's born alive, but the court, in essence, extended it back to the end of the second trimester when viability steps in. That's why personhood is the issue. Murder is a deliberate, wrongful killing of a person. If the entity isn't a person, then it cannot be murder. And because the entity isn't a person, even though it would develop into one were it to continue to go to term, this is a crucial distinction. And it's just really revealing to me how you say I'm being so academic about this when I'm making the key and telling points that you may want to ignore, but which make the difference here. I'm not in favor of abortion, meaning I'm not enthusiastic about it. I can't imagine a woman having to go through the anguish of having to undergo an abortion, but it is her right under the law as Roe had it, which I believe is properly decided. And while I'm a huge fan of everyone you enumerate there, this isn't a question of popularity. I don't care whether anyone agrees with me or not. I'm staking out what I take to be after 35 years of debating over this in course after course. 35 years out of it.
Okay.
Just get it, okay? There's a reason why people aren't understanding or acknowledging. You've been saying that it has nothing to do with those distinctions, but it has everything to do with those distinctions.
You know, Tim, just go watch the film Silent Scream. You can parse it any way you want. But that baby, no matter how many weeks or months it's along, that baby is murdered in the womb. It is cut up. It is cut up and vacuumed and sucked out of a woman. And it's killed. It's dead. And there ain't no academic bullshit coming out of your pothole going to change that.
Go watch the film. All these emotional deals. You know, that's persuasive. You're going to substitute emotion for reason. I'm sorry. I will not do that. And all your emotional appeals are unavailing in my judgment as to whether or not the proper policy is to allow or not allow abortion under the circumstances specified by Roe v. Wade, which I thought was so finally and subtly decided. And you know, I don't know what else to tell you. You continue to use the word murder, which is inappropriate in this context. It's like you bought into all the propaganda that's ever been generated by the pro-lifers. I respect what we often refer to as the sanctity of life, but we got a situation where women have to live in a real world with real life decisions that have real consequences, and some of them are not ones they would prefer to make, but necessity dictates that they have to make them, and I respect a woman's right to make that decision. I have a dear friend of retired Professor Robb talks about how prohibition is a similar case. When you have prohibition, even if you think maybe it's better people not drink alcohol as a recreational beverage, you wind up making a whole lot of
money.
I'd like to ask a question. Let me ask a question, Jim. I got a question.
Sure.
Because I know, as you believe that, and as the old talking point goes, you know, safe, rare, and you know, and with exception, legal, safe, and rare. At what point is viability?
At the end of the second trimester, and it's not a function of brain or heart, it's a function of lung development.
Okay. All right.
I mean, this is rather established, you know.
But we have to understand the case that essentially got us here, or got us to where we are, was actually, what, 14 weeks?
What's the point you're making, Mitchell?
Well, the legal case that got us to where we are today with the Roe decision, wasn't that based on what, 14 weeks or something along those lines? But yeah.
The point would be, as the court delineated, abortions were unrestricted in the first trimester, that they were subject to state regulation as to how they'd be performed in the second. But then after viability, that it could only be done to preserve the life or the health of the woman only because her rights would override those of the developing person. Now, but it only becomes a person at the point of attaining viability or the ability to exist independent of her body. And that seems to me philosophically, theoretically, exactly right.
So you disagree with Ralph Northam's view.
A lot of emotional baggage goes along with accepting the idea that this developing entity, even if it has heart function or brain function, still does not attain the status of being a person. This is a notion with legal, moral, and social significance, the concept of personhood.
So, Tim, let me ask you a question. You and Mitch, I want to ask a question of both of you. Okay? You accuse me of being emotional, like emotions should have nothing to do with anything. We are all emotional creatures. Fuller wrote about this and gave a speech about this. It's absolutely amazing. We're not just intellect. We're emotion. Okay? So I'm going to ask you and Mitch a simple question. Mitch, you have children, right?
No.
No, you don't? Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you did. Well, Jim, you
have
children.
That's okay. I got you guys.
I wanted to talk about the Supreme Court and all the other things about law, but we're on it. But here's the simple idea. We're all walking around now because we weren't aborted. Jim, your children weren't aborted. So if they were aborted, they would be gone. They would never have come into this world. So you can dance around terms like murder and all you want, viability. But that's the reality. There's nothing positive about abortion. Everybody is tired. Believe me, I'm not alone. Everybody is tired of you trying to pretend that you can just academically use your talking points to make your case for this issue. It's not just simply an intellectual or academic argument.
It's a major issue out there in society, and I'm seeking to promote conceptual clarity about it, and I have a hard road to hoe because individuals like you are so swept up with the emotional dimension, and you have a difficult time sorting it out intellectually. But that's what I'm here for. That's why I do it. I don't ask people to all agree with me. I'm saying a woman has a fundamental right here that deserves respect, and the reason behind it are well-founded. And I regard this rejection of Roe as a colossal mistake with vast practical ramifications.
I disagree with your characterization. I disagree with the characterization that people like me have a difficult time sorting it out, or that we get carried away or swept away. These are terms that you use all the time against me and other people. When Ed Henry was on your show, you shut him down. You didn't even let him talk. Add him to the list, okay? So you don't have to be religious. I'm not particularly religious. I was born and raised Catholic. But I'm telling you right now, you are just missing something. There's part of you that is just not adjusted correctly. If you can't see what we all are saying to you, okay, this is not something that's just an academic discussion with over coffee and cigars in a smoke room, okay?
Paul.
Sorry. All right.
That's right. Okay, it's my turn. Wait a minute. Hey, now Paul asked me here, Paul, I'll tell you this. I'm a damn accident. My mom couldn't even get birth control. They didn't even want to give out birth control in 1960. Okay. So, yeah, I'm here. I'm an accident, and that's okay.
Thank God you're here. Thank the universe.
It's a train wreck. It's a train wreck. Watch out.
I think we're in a situation where there's no solution that's going to satisfy everyone. People have different religious beliefs, so if they're entitled, they have the right to act in accordance with those religious beliefs up to the point where, and this, of course, is why it becomes so messy, we have another person involved here. And the point I make is for the first 6 months, you don't have another person. That only occurs at viability. And then, of course, I agree, an abortion for any reason other than to save the life or health of the mother is murder. It is murder. And infanticide is obviously grotesque, and I don't approve of it in any way, shape, or form. But we're in a situation where women have practical decisions to make in their lives, and if they're not allowed to abort an unwanted fetus in accordance with what was the law up until now, they're going to suffer all kinds of vast consequences. Too many kids in the family lose their jobs. There's no roof over their head. The consequences just can be overwhelming. It should be left to each individual woman to decide for herself based on her personal circumstance, and no one has the right to take that away from her. No one has the right to take that away from her.
Women should be kept on breeding farms and forced to carry every pregnancy to term.
Yeah. That's a caricature, but the point is that, and that's why that relevant stuff about slavery and how the masters were impregnating the black slaves and all that was, in fact, actually relevant, even though you wanted to deny it. But everyone's right to make up their mind for themselves. And whether it's Giuseppe, you, Mona, Lou, everyone else on your list, all of whom I regard as very good people, disagree with me, that's fine. I don't object to that. The fact is, though, I'm going to stand up for a woman's right to choose because, in my opinion, it's of overwhelming importance to women worldwide. None should be reduced to the status of a reproductive slave, and I find it rooted in the Constitution.
Let's just talk. You keep going over these same points. I know your arguments. Please, we're trying to have a conversation, and you keep going over all these intellectual academic arguments you make over and over again. And this is what the people that you all just named and that I named, they all have respect for you, for who you are as a human being, not just as a researcher and a voice in the truth community. That's a separate issue. I mean, we all have tremendous respect and fondness for you as a man. I mean, I'll just confess right now, every Monday morning I turn on, I want to hear Meanwhile. I want to hear Jim booming against the political establishment. It's an addiction I have. But all of those people that I, and I'm not speaking for them, but I can imagine it's the same as me. It's not just they disagree with you. They're just not sure they understand where you're coming from. Like I said, you're a father and a grandfather, and you've seen, I mean, children start somewhere, don't they? Don't they start at conception? So Who are you or anybody else to say, oh, well, you know, up to 10 weeks, up to 5 weeks, up to, you know, up to 12 weeks. This is just arbitrary stuff. And once you start making it about what a person wants who's more powerful, isn't that what's wrong with the world right now? Is the more powerful people, people that have more money and position or actual physical power, they don't get to decide morally, but they are deciding physically. And if you saw that film, The Silent Spring, narrated by a Jewish doctor who was formerly an abortion provider, and he converted to Catholicism, and he shows quite clearly what goes on. And that baby is cut apart and killed and sucked out of that womb. And if that doesn't affect you emotionally when you watch it, then you're just not a fully developed human being. I'm sorry. That's going to affect you emotionally.
We all know this. This is why you see the emotionality. And this is a seamy side of life. This is a blessing. We wish it never were appropriate that no woman ever would need an abortion. And I'm simply here to tell you, in spite of it all, and I'm not unaware of any of that, a woman has this right, and no man and no court should take that away from a woman. It's a reducing them to a form of reproductive slavery that is grossly immoral. Morality is rooted in the principle of always treating other persons with respect. Women are persons, and they deserve to be treated with respect. And that includes respect for the right to decide, as long as what we're dealing with is not yet a person and doesn't have rights of their own. This is a developing entity. It's a very special, precious form of property of the woman up to the point of viability. And that's why I keep emphasizing to you, this is the crucial distinction. And you claim you understand that I'm being academic. Well, I'm not. I'm really just drawing the line at how we have to understand this to deal clearly and rationally with such an emotionally laden issue. I respect you and everyone else on your list who has a different opinion. That's not anything to which I am opposed remotely. Mitchell, are we still on the air?
Yeah, we're here. I was waiting for Paul to respond.
Yeah. I don't know. He feels I'm repetitious, but, you know, after 35 years of teaching, I know you have to repeat key points for them to sink in. And especially when you're dealing with such an emotional subject as this, if you don't emphasize, it never sinks in. But Paul's reached the point of having heard it all before, but it doesn't count in his way of evaluating things as being academic. I weep for every woman who has to undergo a decision of this kind. It's very tragic. Any woman should be put in that position.
You got a few minutes left.
In terms of if she's in a relationship with a husband and a family, she has absolutely no rights. If she is out messing around, okay, that's a different story. If it's rape and incest, okay, that's a different story. But other than that, I just give up on you, to be honest.
I think women want to run the lives of women. I mean, it's a disgrace, frankly.
I want to run the lives of women.
Men could become pregnant. Abortion would be our most sacred right.
But men can become pregnant now.
Yeah, tell us, Mitchell, how men can become pregnant right now. This is what lunacy.
I didn't make the rules.
You make wonderful arguments, and we simply disagree on this in a rather profound way. So, but I respect it, and I'm glad for you to argue for your position, which I respect, and I presume you reciprocate.
No, I just, like I said, nothing changes in our relationship. You frustrate me, and I basically give up. I would love to have a show with multiple people, maybe some or several of the people I named, that we could all just go back and forth, and I would manage to keep my cool. But I lose my cool when I just hear you going on and on and on. We've all heard before, and it just drives me crazy.
I'd be glad to do that. But, you know, after having debated this 35 years in academic context with thousands of students, I mean, we've kicked this around from every possible point of view. I mean, the likelihood of changing a view that I've arrived at over 35 years of exchange, debate, research, and the like is extremely unlikely. The fact is that each of us has a certain amount for themselves, but I come down fundamentally on the side of a woman's right to choose under the circumstances that I have described repeatedly, ad nauseum in your view, under which, in my opinion, she has that right to exercise. And the fact is that the calamity now, we're going to be returning to back alley abortions. Women are going to have to give up their jobs. They're going to have to take a day off. Everyone's going to know. They're going to have to travel to another state.
They're giving up their
jobs
for another life into this world. Man, oh, man. All right. Jim, I respect you. I got to go.
Okay. No, I'm glad you called them. Not a problem. Good. Mitchell, your final thoughts?
God bless everybody. It's the toughest decision people will have to make in their personal lives.
I do agree. Again, I would like abortion to be legal, safe, and rare. I think Brother had it right, and the court made a colossal blunder. Thanks, Mitchell. Thanks, Paul. Glad we could get on there today. Thanks, all, everyone. Thanks, Wednesday.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence